God our Father. Please take notice of us. As we lift up our voices, lift up our hands, lift up our hearts, we send our praises to you. God, please take notice of us as we're calling your name. You said if we would call upon the name of the Lord, that you would not only hear us, but that you would deliver us, see about us, rescue us, restore us, revive us. These things you said you would do. And God, we're counting on you to come through. We are as our brothers and sisters before. We sometimes find ourselves wandering in solitary ways. We ebb and we flow. I guess, God, all we're saying in human language is we struggle sometimes. And we have discovered we cannot make it without you. So help us. Lift us from the mundane, the ordinary, the average, the usual, that we would experience the excellence of God. Sit at your feet and your words fall into our ears and into our spirit, to our hearts. God, let life change for us. Thank you for being our Father, our lover and our friend, our brother, our comfort. You're all that to us, and we just want to say thank you. We just want to applaud you and worship you and love on you because you've been so good to us. Oh God, every time we think about it, we don't mind lifting our hands and lifting our voices, but every time we think about it, something reminds us how wonderful it is to be the child of God. We don't want to come across arrogant or conceited, but you just remind us that we've got it like that. Because greater is he that is in me. Hallelujah. I bless your name. What a mighty God we serve. Again, Lord, we pray that you open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts ready. This is our moment in time. And God, we bless you. Help me, God, help them. And God, what we've shared in private, let me now go public. Someone would cry out, what must I do? Thank you, God, for keeping Brookville in the saving business. Didn't let the devil get the best of us. And even when there are those contrary to where we are trying to go and what we're trying to do, let us remember, but for the grace of God, it could have been the other way. So let us remember to love each other and to lift each other. We'll come up as one. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. Crying, Lord, have mercy. in Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us, come on, that's us, y'all. Let us, come on, that's us, y'all. That's everybody. Exalt his name together. Come on and lift him just a little bit higher. He's worthy. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Look at your name and say, neighbor, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, but he did it. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Tell your neighbor, I didn't get cut off. I got caught up. I didn't get cut off. I should have been cut off. But he caught me up. Hallelujah. 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 No, I mean it. Hallelujah. Some of y'all trying to act cute, but hallelujah. Matter of fact, you sitting around some cute folk telling this one for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been delivered. I know some of y'all thought I should have been left behind, but God came back for one. Tell your neighbor, I was that one. I didn't mean to hold y'all up, but I was the one. Hallelujah. Isn't God an awesome God? Ooh, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Grab your Bibles. I don't intend to struggle with you long today. I want to say thank you to the ministers, Dr. Dixon and Dr. White, for taking care of things and preaching y'all on through. I want to thank all of you for being just who you are and doing what you do. Sometimes you have to step back just to get close. And we thank God that he allows us to step back. But it's good to know that when you're not there, that somebody will take care of things. Amen. We appreciate that. We really appreciate that. Ushers and choir and all of you persons who did what you did and are doing what you're doing. Thank you. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 of the Bible and our New Testament writing. I have a New Living Translation. Pray you'll follow along. And to those of you who are disciples here and still have something else, I don't know what you're waiting on. All we use around here. But we appreciate you for what you have. And thank God for our guest today. We have the Reverend Angela. I can't say your last name. I don't want to mess it up. Anderley? What is that? French? Cajun? Dutch? Okay. Very good. Anderley. All right. Thank you for coming from Chicago, Illinois area, somewhere around there. Windy City, and we're glad to have you with us. We're going to share your website with the folk. We'll get it up on the media source. She has her own gospel program, I understand, where she shares the word of God, and we're going to listen in, and if you do well, we'll tell you okay. If you don't, we'll let you know. Can you leave comments on it? Oh, yeah. We'll be Deacon Richburg, add this. We'll make sure we get that up there. And so we can listen in. We have our own podcast. Some of y'all don't listen to it. I don't know why, but we have one. What are we up to now? How many hits have we had? 100 this week. What's our total number overall? We were way up there one time. 500 or so. Okay. Yeah, what's the year-to-date last time? 7,000 somehow. Okay. We rolling. And we get out there when we can. I'm really convinced that you all ought to listen to what we're saying. Australia likes us. Okay, I'm going to start a church in Australia. How many thousand down there? Okay, I'm going to Australia. See y'all later. G'day, mates. Amen. Down under. I'm going. Well, I don't want to go down under now. I'm not that down under. Okay. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And pray that you'll come along with us. I don't want to take up too much of your time. It says, this is my second letter to you, dear friends. And in both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember and understand what the Holy Prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. First, I want to remind you that in the last days there will be scoffers who will laugh at the truth and do every evil thing they desire. This will be their argument. Jesus promised to come back, did he? Then where is he? Why, as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly the same since the world was first created. Y'all know they were lying. They deliberately forgot, and God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth up from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the world with a mighty flood. And God has also commanded that the heavens and earth will be consumed by fire on the day of judgment when ungodly people will perish. But you must not forget, dear friends, that a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. It's a shout, go right there. Yes, he does not want anyone to perish, so he is giving more time for everyone to repent. That's another shout place right there. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and everything in them will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be exposed to judgment. Since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives you should be living. You should look forward to the day, to that day, and hurry it along. The day when God will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. I like verse 13. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised. A world where everyone is right with God. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to live a pure and blameless life and be at peace with God. Bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. Ushers, you may rest from your labors. Thank you so much. I want to look again at verse 14, which was our final verse in the reading. It says, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to live a pure and blameless life and be at peace with God. do me a favor. I pray that you are in good voice and you have good strength today. Again, we thank God for all of you. Look at your neighbor after putting a good smile up there. Smile at your neighbor. And don't look at folk with that "you owe me money" look. But smile and say, "Neighbor, pastor is going to preach while we are waiting." Amen. While we are waiting. I want to tell you that waiting is a disciplined state of doing. And it requires a certain kind of devotion. Waiting is a disciplined state of doing. Okay, only three of y'all heard me. Waiting is not just sitting around doing nothing. Waiting is a disciplined state of doing. You can't just say, "I'm waiting on the Lord," sit there with the okie doke look. Isaiah said, "They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength." You got to be doing something. You don't get strong just sitting around, going to church and singing on the choir. That ain't doing nothing. Anybody can sing. Anybody can go to church. Matter of fact, look around. There's a lot of anybody's in here today. Everybody in here ain't saved. Everybody in here ain't in love with God. Everybody in here is just an anybody. Anybody can come to church. Anybody can go to Food Line. Anybody can go to Kroger. But those who are discipled in God are waiting. And he said, them of y'all that got it together ought to hurry that day alone. Y'all are just saying, "Come on, Jesus." Whole lot of folk are praying that the Lord would delay. Us going to need a little more time. We're still having fun doing what us likes to do. We don't want the Lord coming to call us into accountability. But waiting doesn't mean you just sit around with your suit clothes on and got your hair fried and throw it to the side and got your French manicure and you just wait. Even when we are in our secular mindsets waiting, we do stuff. We busy ourselves. When we're waiting for a ride, we do stuff. When we're waiting to go to the store, waiting for something to happen, we do stuff. Why is it that we suggest that while we're waiting on God, we ain't got to do nothing? Just waiting. What are you doing waiting on the Lord? Doing what sitting right here? Well, you know the whole world is passing you by. But when the Lord comes, I want him to know where to find me. Well, you do know that the Lord knows that our steps are ordered by him. You can't be nowhere the Lord won't find you. And for some of us, that ought to call for a life change right there. Because no matter where you go, no matter what name you put on the card, no matter how low your hat, your sunglasses, God know you there. I'll let y'all think about that for a minute. But it's not that we're lazy, Lord. We're just lazy. It says that you ought to be doing some stuff while you're waiting. He reminds us that it takes a devotion to wait. How many of y'all have waited on somebody, got impatient, and went on about your business? Oh, just seven of y'all got Holy Ghost integrity right now.
I'm going to ask again. How many of y'all ever supposed to be waiting on somebody, got tired of waiting, and said, I'm out of here? Some of y'all coming around. It takes devotion. Say, well, I know he's coming. He might be a little late. Grandma put it this way. He may not come when you call, but he'll be on time. Now, some of y'all don't fit that bill. Some of y'all just always late, slow, tardy, inept. But, you know, it takes devotion to say, no, I'm just going. How many of y'all ever left too soon? Amen. Should have stayed 5 more minutes, and 5 more minutes can turn into hours if you care. But it says devotion to wait on him. How many of you know and can admit that it depends on who you're waiting on? Y'all can act like I ain't been here for a while. I mean, it depends on who you're waiting on. You know, You're waiting on certain people. You say, oh, don't worry about it. They're going to be all right. They're coming. Something must have happened. Something has interfered with our plans, but let's just wait. See what happens. So it is a character issue now that we're addressing, because few of us genuinely possess the ability to wait. Some of you are impatient people. You're good people, but you're impatient. You can't wait on nobody. Daughter, you shouldn't be laughing. You give yourself away. You just got to, you know. How many of y'all know fidgety people? Got to always just be doing something. You tell them, wait right here. They be. You think they pray dancing. You got to have a certain character of discipline to wait. So for many of us, waiting results in wandering. That's where we are. We're almost there. For many of us, waiting results in wandering. How many of you ever told a child, stay put? That's old language. That's how we say it. You stay put. Don't you move. You better be here when I get back. And how many know when mama went that way and you counted it down, you say, oh, yeah, she's good and gone now. You start wondering. And God help you when you live with nosing neighbors who tell your mama, I saw your boy after you left, went out the door there. You supposed to be waiting. How many ever got a whooping for wandering? And another one? And in other words, we ain't learned nothing. Mom said, how many times I got to whoop you for the same thing? As many times I do the same thing. You couldn't say that though, could you? That results in a slap in the mouth. But it is hard to wait. Doesn't matter whether you're in the choir, doesn't matter whether you're a preacher, doesn't matter Reverend French Dutch name, it doesn't matter. It's just hard to wait. And God understands that. He knows it well, that some of us are going to be found out of place. Remember the Bible says some will be on the rooftop, some will be in the fields, some will be at the club, some going to be at the racetrack, some of y'all going to be some anywhere. You know, you ask your neighbor, where you going to be? What'd they say? Child, I don't know. Hey, Lord, said to find me anywhere. And that's the reality, because we have this mental attitude about waiting. And again, I said to you earlier, it depends on who you're waiting on. But we're waiting on the Lord. But what is God going to find the church doing in the waiting? Well, I mean, when God is looking at us at this hour, it's about 31 minutes after the hour of 12. God looked down at Greater Brookville. He knows we have 11 o'clock church. He knows well, some of y'all have 11:15, 11:25 church. But he knows that you know, God knows how. And what are we doing? Is it our routine Sunday? You know, we always have more folk on first Sunday than we have on any other Sunday. What is God saying about you when you just come on communion, son. And what is that saying really about you if you just want to eat a little chip and drink a little grape juice? And do you really think that makes you whole and sanctified? I know you say, well, I start my month off with the Lord in communion. But it's 30-some-odd other days out there. Preacher said as often as we do. You can bet if we had communion every day, some of y'all would stop coming. Child, they wearing it out. How are we going to wear it out? You just don't want to come. What is he saying? Well, I got to go. The doctrine for our discussion revolves around the fact that Peter's trying to get the church holy. See, there we go. We got quiet. Ah, child, Lord, he go there holding this stuff. It ain't all bad. Talk about it. Come on. I was on the plane coming back from my vacation and sit with a guy and we start talking. He's a doctor. He was a doctor. And he says, Leroy, he said, how your joints? I said, okay. He said, your ankle, your knees, your elbows and stuff. I said, he said, listen, do you take glucosamine? I said, no, sir. He said, start taking. He said, it'll help you for the rest of your life. He said, you won't start limping. You won't break down. He said, take that. He said, they have it at Sam's Club. Costs about $14, 200-something pills in the bottle. He said, the doctor's not going to tell you that because he can't make no money off of it. The pharmacist's not going to tell you. He can't make no money. He said, I'm just telling you. He said, you seem like a nice guy. He said, how's your blood pressure? I said, it's fine. He said, listen, every morning, buy you some red wine vinegar. And every morning, take a shot of vinegar. He said, it cleans your system out and dilutes things and flushes. He said, drink at least 2 quarts of water a day. He said, take a little walk. He said, now, what do you do for a living? I said, I pastor a church. He said, oh, well, this next one ain't going to help you. I said, what's next? He said, drink 2 shots of whiskey a day. He said, but y'all Baptists don't drink whiskey. Us Catholics do. I said, I'm changing religions. But he said, I just want to help you. Because you got to live forever till you die. And what he was saying is advice, but what Peter's trying to help us to do is set our lives up and live holy. And he's giving us some pretty good advice. He said, I want to remind you. And notice now, we get along. He said, I want to stimulate your memory.
You know what the problem is?
Church secret. Everybody's sworn to secrecy. Don't tell nobody this. You can't remind folk of what they don't know. You can't stimulate memory where there is no memory. What you say? You ain't come to Bible study. You don't have come to church. You don't want to learn nothing. You don't listen to nobody. And then we start talking doctrine and holiness. You be like, when they gonna get to the Holland? I get to the Holland. But your whole life ain't about Holland. Why they make the call? I just rather listen to the music. Ain't no concert here. How are we going to stimulate memory when you don't know nothing? That's not grammatically correct, but I'm preaching you not. You are unaware of the things of God concerning the book. How's that sound? You don't know. He said, you know, you need to massage your mind. And he said, listen, let me help you. The Lord's coming back. So it's going to happen. And we ought to shout with every shout we got that he didn't come this morning. Yes, sir. Some of us ought to shout that he didn't come last night when we were wherever we were doing what we ought to shout that the Lord did not come and catch us wrong. He said, but he coming. And he said, you need to understand that when he comes, he ain't playing. How many have been told that by your parents? They found out you done something jacked up. Say, when I get home, I'm going to get you. Y'all ain't been told that? I'm the only one? And how many prayed they had a wreck on the way home or something happened? Prayed they broke their leg? Come on, now, y'all trying to act funny. I'm telling you, my mom and daddy, I done cut them off a lot of times. They done had car wrecks, got shot, ate by gorillas, anything. Look, anything. I got on my knees and said, Lord, please don't let them come home. Y'all ain't never prayed them kind of prayer? Yes, y'all. Don't fool me. Reverend Anderson said he can't tell it because his mama here. He said, I can't help you right now, Reverend. Catch me in the office. Okay. You have no idea when he coming. But he coming. And Peter said, let me remind you that God cannot lie. He coming. And there are a whole lot of folk walk around here talking about, the Lord was coming. He'd have been here by now. You ought to shout. So don't talk like that. Because I got some unfinished business yet. I ain't all I ought to be. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. You ain't either. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad that this ain't the day he showed up. I got another chance to kind of get it a little better toward right. Don't act like you already there. You're not going to be Enoch. You're not going to just get caught up. You're going to die. And you got to wait like the rest of us. But Peter said, let me remind you that the Lord is coming. And then he said, listen, I'm reminding you because I had a forgetful moment in my life. See, that's part of the church discipline that we don't like to talk about, Dr. Dixon, because some of us try to act like we ain't ever had a short moment. We ain't never forgot nothing. We always been right with the Lord. We dotted every I and crossed all of our T's and we put our white on first Sunday and we bless the Lord, oh our soul. We don't cuss. We don't drink. We don't steal. We ain't never wrong nobody. We just wonderful like that. Thank God. They don't do background checks. Thank God ain't no lie detector at the door that you got to walk through. No sin meter. Somebody walk through there and the thing go, doop, you be like, oh, that thing broke. Y'all need to fix that. They tell you, no, you need to step over here. Further screening required. Aren't you glad? I'm almost there. Y'all trying to play crazy. But how many of us know that God knows? You sit here trying to look all prim and proper. God knows. That bag of weed in your car, God knows. That liquor bottle, God knows. You got some folk come to your house getting limited access. Don't go in that room. You follow people to the bathroom.
I got it. I'm ready to come out.
Some of y'all glad they stopped putting medicine cabinets in bathrooms. God knows. He said, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling God. He said, let me stir your remembrance. The Lord coming. And when he comes, don't let him find you wrong. Somebody need to see if we can get a room at the church for the rest of our life. I told y'all before, some of y'all, the best thing I can do is lock y'all in here. Bring y'all food. Don't even let y'all go up to the trust restaurant. Just bring your food. Because if you go up there, you're too close. Don't let you go in the food line because they got a beer and wine section. No, I like we ain't got issues. He said, let me stir your remembrance that the Lord coming back. He said, and trust me in this, God will interrupt history when he wants to. He's trying, the Lord love the world ain't going to never. God will interrupt history when he wants to. Don't you think because we're having a green season, it's going to always be like this. God will make it rain and not turn the water off. Them fires were burning out there in Colorado. Y'all should have been praying. When the tsunamis come in Japan, y'all should have been praying. Are we right here talking better them than us? No. Nobody knows how this thing going to end. Bible said disasters are going to come upon us. Tell you right now, he's going to crack that sky. And let me help you understand some of y'all. This is a good biblical lesson here. We'll be done most directly. When God first comes, it's not the rapture of the church. The first coming will be to set up his kingdom. That'll reign for about 1,000 years. See, some of us going to find out that we're not kingdom residents. Mm-hmm. Some of us going to find out that when the Lord closes the gate, we're going to be on the outside. In your name, I sing in the choir. In your name, I preach the gospel. You know what the Lord going to say? I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Woo! No, he's not. He's not gonna let you know he got help like that. He said, let me remind you. Stir up your remembrance. You ain't always been saved. And if you are saved, it's time to live it like you saved. Ought to be some difference in you by now. He said, well, let me remind you. He said, watch this. He said that if you don't know, you need to know. Know what he said? He said, listen, let me help you. To understand that the quality and quantity of your learning will dictate and be demonstrated in the quality and quantity of your living. That's what he said. He said, as much as you know and the quality of what you know will be reflected in what you are and what you do. The irony of it is, in 2012, the church is full of do-nothings. Because we ain't learned nothing. We ain't doing nothing. Sitting around watching a small few do everything for the kingdom, and then we want to jump on the bandwagon talking about, I was there. You'll learn. Jesus did not come to us and say, take from me and go buy cars and go buy houses. The first thing he said is, learn of me. Go to school. Sit at the foot of your pastor. And learn me. Know who I am. Then he turned around and said, who do men say that I am? Jesus said, are they getting it right? Because the only way they're going to get it right is for leadership to put it out there right. Church jacked up because it's jacked up from the top. We must require holiness. Don't start feeding the baby now. Look at me. We must. You ain't going to remember what you don't know. You don't come to Bible study, you ain't got time. You want to come to church school, you ain't got time. Y'all be glad. I ain't just glad you came to this. I'll come to this by myself. We preach a gospel to them who want to hear a gospel and be the gospel. He said, I'm just trying to remind you. Even Jesus asked the question. He said, look, how long have I been with y'all that y'all don't get it? He stirred up their remembrance. He said, listen, all the stuff I've been teaching y'all, I ought to see it in you by now. Church ought to be bad to the bone. Instead, we just dry bones. We it. We ought to be healing. Delivering, lifting up. We sit around whining and complaining. I don't go to church for that. What you come for? It's gospel. You know, Jesus never just had a feed fest. Sometimes Jesus fed folk because they weren't smart enough to bring their own food. They didn't follow Jesus just to eat. I believe the disciples were right. Send them away. But you know what he said? No, send them down. There ain't no reason we come to church just to eat. Let us start feeding folk around here. They'll be here in droves. One of our best and most successful ministries is we giving away food. We give away 105, 10, 15 baskets of food, and not one or two of them people ever come back to this church. Am I lying? That's what a church supposed to do. If we stop doing that food ministry, they gone. And we stand out there and say, well, listen, why don't you come to church with us Sunday? I'll try. You have a church? No, I'm looking. You in one. Look no more. Ta-da! You found it to come pick up the food. You can't come find it to lift up Jesus. Did I say something wrong? In the words of Urkel, did I do that? I mean, come on. He said, I'm just trying to see. How long have I been with you that you still stuck on these things? He said, I'm just trying to help you remember. Okay, we got to go. He says, not only do I need you to remember, but watch this. He said, this serves to remind you. Remind what? He said that the last days are coming. See, we sitting around thinking because we cool and we got air conditioning. And we inventing things. They just put that thing up on Mars, you know. And we think that mean that God is real happy with us. And he said, no, we're in the last days. And I know somebody said, well, they've been saying that. I know, you scoffers. Go ahead, talk that talk. But you know what? These are the last days. He said, I just want to remind you that God is putting us on notice. How many of you have been put on notice? Yeah, and somebody, you know, say, I tell you what, be advised that you on notice. Be advised that we'll be watching you more closely here. We think about terminating you because you ain't cutting the mustard. So he says, just keep mocking the truth. That's what he said to the church. He said, keep on playing. And what's going to happen is God going to show up. You know, we say if the thief had known the hour, he'd have been ready. See, and God is saying to the church, let me remind you now that I am coming. And I'm coming with my reward in one hand, but my wrath is going to be in the other one. Which one God going to meet you with? I don't care nothing about you being a pastor, preacher, bishop, elder, deacon, trustee. He don't care. If you wrong, you wrong. He said, well, let me remind you. He said, you got to understand that too much of the world is following its own desire, doing what we want to do. Amen. Can't make me. I don't care what he said. I ain't got to come to church. No, you don't. I ain't got to give my tithe. I marveled when the man of God was mentioning the offering today. He said, you know, you can't pay God. That's why we give a tithe. We don't pay tithe. I know sometimes we say it, we don't mean to say it that way, but we only give to God. You can't pay no tithe. You can't pay God. You just give. That's why he said he loved the cheerful giver. He don't say he loved the cheerful payer. God knows what he's saying. Because he know who he's talking to. Why y'all getting quiet on me? He said, you can't follow your own desires. How many of you willing to admit if you did everything you want to do, you'd be dead by now? Aren't you glad somebody said, hey, get off of there. Hey, put that down. Aren't you glad? Don't cross the street yet, baby. Big old city transit bus coming. You're going to run out in the street. How many of y'all thank God Somebody told you, hey! Look both ways before you cross the street don't mean go anyway. He said, you can't follow. Let me remind you, you are the elect of God. Oh, can I get you a little bit excited? He still take anybody. He still takes anybody. God is still in the whosoever business. Some of y'all were sitting here getting kind of depressed about the thing. I felt you. He said, you take anybody. Nothing. They said, that's how I got in. Think it ain't had a sin meter up the day I came. It ain't going to blow it up. He said, you come in. And watch this now. He said, as I'm reminding you, it's right there in verse 3. I'm almost, he said, I want to remind you. This is your notice. Remember they had a few years ago, they had a little slogan going out, this is your sign. You remember that? They had a little thing, this is your sign. And they would give you some wise information, this is your sign. That's all Peter's saying to the church. Don't let the world fool you because the Lord had delayed that he ain't coming. He said, remember, you were redeemed by God. Don't think you just figured out something and said, you know, I want to be holy. No, God redeemed us, bought with a price. He died. See that? Look, see that's a bad sign for the church. When we say he died and it don't get no reaction, we done got mute to that. My pastor taught me that every time somebody reminds you that Jesus died, we ought to shout out, Lord, have mercy. They killed him because of us. And you ought to be glad he said, go ahead. He said, because nobody ain't going to take my life. But because I love these peoples here, I'm laying it down. He died. We were guilty and still are. And then got the nerve to sit up in his house and won't even acknowledge who he is. Sitting up in my house, you're going to at least acknowledge who I am. That's my rule. Amen. God is higher than I am. Die. Only reason you sucking it in and blowing it out, he died. You drive what you drive, eat what you eat, wear what you wear, live where you live, because he died. And when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. That's why you do what you do on your job. He gifted you. They didn't hire you because you were so wonderful. God slipped your name into HR and they called you. You know you working over your skill level. You weren't the best qualified. You had favor. You went into shock when the phone rang. So I said, them people from that job call you, call me. They said something about calling back. They got, child, can I borrow your cell phone? Because yours cut off. You out of minutes. He said, let me remind you. You are not all that. And he coming. And when he comes, where's he gonna find you at? He said, listen, the Bible said that he's consistent in his coming. Hebrew writer says that same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You ought to be glad that God don't show up with an attitude. You know what I'm saying? You ought to be glad that God ain't wishy-washy. Y'all ever had to deal with somebody like that? You know, one minute they all sweet and kind, and the next time you see them, they're like, well, what happened? God is God. Long-suffering. Tender in his mercy. Kind. Forgiving. And when he comes, he'll still be God. He said, I want to remind you. And then he says, watch this. He said, and when the time comes, he's going to fulfill just what he said. Now watch, we're going on in. He said, you want to know why I'm reminding you? Because God wants everybody to make it. I thought, sure, that'd get a free shot right there, Nick. I'm telling you, God, let me tell you something. Some of y'all ain't going to get in nobody's circle. Nobody wants you. Some of y'all ain't going to be no AKAs, no Kappas, no Omegas. You ain't going to be no Mason. You ain't going to be no Shriner. You ain't going to be none of that because they don't want you. But aren't you glad that God wants everybody to make it? Every sinner to be saved. He said, I died for all of them. I want everybody to come. And when you come, he wants you to be converted. Well, right there, I came to Jesus just as I was and stayed just like I came. That's not a testimony. That's hypocrisy. That's what's going on in the church. We come to Jesus, broke up, toe up from the floor up, ain't got nothing in, get in the church and don't want to change. Then that nerd look right now, I ain't the only one, but you ought to be the one. He said, I want everybody to make it. He said, listen, everybody be saved. That's what he tells Jerry. He said, listen, you got to obey the truth. Don't fall for the okey-doke. He said, make sure that you are in the right standing with God. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, how you standing? What did they say? They said, come back tomorrow. Give me a little more time. Let me think on it. He said, remember that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. See, some of y'all done tuned me out. I see you. I'm looking at you. Don't think I can't see you from up here with that tone of voice in your eyes. He said, I'm just putting you on notice. God coming back with a standard. He's going to say, listen, did you do what I told you? Did you accept my son? Did you live holy unto me? Or did you just sit in the church on Sunday trying to look intellectual? Trying to look all deep. See, whenever the preaching get a little hard, we try to start looking deep. And God is saying to us, you ain't fooling me. See, I had some of y'all earlier. Some of y'all are all the way in the parking lot now. You know, your air conditioning been running 10 minutes. But let me help you understand something. I'm there. It's 1 o'clock. I know what time it is. He says, I want you to be saved. But don't get it twisted. It's a standard to this. And he reminded him, he said, listen, you got to get right with God. And understand, beloved God, that God can't be fooled. You put on your church clothes, but you ain't churchy. You come to church, but you ain't in church. Church ain't in you. God is not easily fooled. So he reminds them, he said, well, you got to remember that God made everything. Where we're going now. He said, everything that is was made by God, and he knows it. So he reminded them, he said, you got to remember that everything going to be destroyed. In other words, there'll be no hiding places anywhere. You won't be able to hide under grandma's religiosity. You won't be able to hide under the cloak of your deacon title. You won't be able to hide under the I was senior pastor, executive pastor, junior pastor, third row pastor, choir pastor. He said, none of that's going to matter because everything gonna get burnt up. And you do remember that what is tried by the fire will also be revealed by the fire. And he said, listen, you understand that if you intend to make it with God, now is the time to make it with God. Pastor, you sound crazy. Well, what I'm saying is you need to get your house in order. In other words, don't sit around here thinking that you got a whole lot of time left. Don't sit around here thinking that because you showed up on the first Sunday in the month of August that it suggests to God that you are where you ought to be. But no man knows the day nor the hour. So the Bible said that you ought to keep your business straight all the time. You cannot be a Christian just every now and then, but you got to learn how to live every day for God. You got to learn, I notice ain't nobody helping me here, but you got to learn how to walk right all the time. You can't just pick the Sunday that they're going to call your name. You can't just pick the Sunday that your friend come to church with you. You can't just pick the Sunday that you feel like it, but you got to live holy all the time. In other words, you got to rise in holiness. You got to lay down in holiness. You got to make holiness your calling and election so that God will be pleased with you. In other words, you got to learn how to do it God's way. I don't particularly care about the traditions of the church, but I care about him who is the church. And because the Lord is the head of my life, he is my king and my Lord. I said he is my king and my Lord. Some of us just want him to be king so that we can live the king life. We want the food from the king's table. We want the clothes out the king's closet. We want to ride in the king's chariot. But we don't want him to be Lord. But I've come by to put you on notice that Jesus is Lord. And because he's Lord, he had lordship over our lives. That's why the Bible says you got to be faithful even unto death. Because those who live for him will die in him. Lord have mercy now. I'm so glad that my life is in Christ Jesus. I am not my own. I'm not my own man, but I belong to God. And because I belong to God, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn how to love my neighbor. I'm going to learn how to walk right before him. I'm going to learn how to keep God first. Because as I treat God, it reflects my relationship. I don't want to fool nobody, but I've made up my mind that I'm going to wait on the Lord. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to lift up his name. While I'm waiting, I'm going to praise his name. While I'm waiting, I'm going to keep on walking, keep on telling the story. While I'm waiting, I'm going to gird up my loins and get my business straight. Because when the Lord comes, I want to hear him call my name. Is there anybody here want to hear your name? I said, is there anybody here want to hear your name? Well, if you want to hear your name, can I tell you the secret? To hear your name, keep calling his name. There's power in his name. Am I right about it? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's power in that name. Anybody know that name? I said, it's that name that every knee will bow, every tongue confess. When I rode this morning, I called that name. As I went about my business, I called that name. Anybody know that name? What's that name? I said, what's that name? Say it like you know it. What's that name? It's power in the name. Anybody know about the power? Power to live right. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Ain't God all right? Anybody been saved by the blood of the Lamb? Aren't you glad? I said, aren't you glad he looked beyond your faults and met your needs? Aren't you glad that in him you live, you move, and have your being? Can you say thank you? Thank you. Thank you. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say glory. Say glory. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. The writer says, I was sinking deep in sin, but the master of the sea, he heard, I said he heard my cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now save, look at the name, say save, 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 am I, say yeah, say glory, say thank you, shout hallelujah. I am, because he is. And when he come back, I want to go with him. Old song said, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever. By that amazing grace. I want to go with him. Peter said, let me remind you. This is your notice. Don't think because we've had some good seasons that the Lord ain't coming. Oh, he coming. Remember that old nursery rhyme, we going on home now. Remember that old nursery rhyme? She'll be coming around the mountain. When she come? Remember how we sang that in nursery school? We get a little rhythm with it. She'll be coming around the mountain when she come. She'll be coming around the mountain when she come. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be riding six flat horses when she comes. You know how we did. All right, hold on. Don't do it. Because you know I get caught up too easy. But you know how we got excited with that song? Better get excited because he's coming. Don't sit here and think he ain't coming. He be coming around that mountain. And what's going to happen? Some of us ain't going to be ready for no chicken and dumpling when he come. We ain't going to be able to kill old Red Rooster when he come. He going to come quickly. Ain't going to have no time since Anderson to heat up no pot for no dumpling. Some of us going to be too busy screaming, oh, Lord, have mercy. He going to say, don't call me now. Because you know some folks going to say that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. No, no. You couldn't even praise me on Sunday morning. You wouldn't even go to my Bible study. Now you want to call up my name? You should have called my name when it was a good season. Now is the season of wrath, turmoil. But let me help you understand something. It's your notice. While you're waiting, what are you going to do? You know, one of the things I discovered about the church, ain't no positive thing either. Sometimes in church, it seems like we don't care. I discovered that, Sister Anderson. I didn't want to have to report it, but we don't care. You know what we care about? Let me tell you, there are three things. I learned this about church. Nobody tell me this. I came up with it on my own. There are three things that we get greatly concerned about in church. Baptisms, not because we get just because we like show out. Weddings and funerals. I've discovered as a pastor, if you, where the guests at? How many guests? First time visit, first time, where y'all at? Y'all going outside, y'all don't need to hear this. No, I discovered as a pastor, if you want to tick families off and lose folk get mad at you, don't ever forgive you. Don't let them have their wedding when they want to, like they want to, do all the song they want to do. See, weddings are sacred. People get mad at me because I tell them, listen, save your sacred music for your reception. I mean, your secular music. You want to come in. I want them to sing this Luther Vandross song. Not in here. You do that at your reception. We'll pretty much let you do Here Come the Bride. You can sing Amen, the Lord's Prayer. But don't be coming here talking about you want somebody to do a Teddy Pendergrass song and all. No, no, no. Your wedding ought to be holy. That's why they don't last. My friend Shaniqua coming, and she going to sing, Here We Are. No, y'all ain't. Here we are in love together. It's you and I. The Lord has made us fall in love. It's true. I never found someone like you. 'Cause in my mind, that ain't no God song. And Shaniqua don't go to nobody church. You want to make them mad, don't let them do their wedding like they want to. Second, don't do the funeral on the day they want to, at the time they want to, and let who they want to preach in your church preach it. I pastor this church. You going to bring another preacher to Brookville so I can sit on the side and watch it? No, sir. Go to his church. See how quiet it's getting? You want to make people mad? Don't let them show out at the baptism. They want to have their whole family come up here, stand around the pool, and take pictures. Don't let them do it. It's a moment. I want to see my child get baptized. But your child won't be in church next Sunday. You came with your family and your cameras, but you won't even make sure they come. Y'all don't want to talk to me now? I'm right, bro. I know you're a guest, but I'm right. Come back again. Stay with us. Mess up the baptism. Don't let them do it. Don't let them have a wedding like they want with all that crazy stuff. You got 9 bridesmaids and ain't none of them saved. I don't want nobody standing with me on a day like that that ain't saved. Spend all that money on dresses and gowns and limos and then get a preacher $5. No. And then the funeral. You know, they call you 3 o'clock in the morning, let you know somebody done died. They'll still be dead when I get there at 11 o'clock, won't they? Why I got to get out of my bed and come to your house and hear the deer? Can I come when the sun comes? He didn't come till the next day. Well, they still dead, right? Y'all laugh. It's because it's funny. He ain't come. We call him. He ain't come. I don't have no resurrection unless you want me to try to raise him and get there quickly with like a 10-minute expiration period or something. Come on, y'all. People get mad at me for stuff like that and then quit on God. That's crazy. He said, let me remind you. The Lord coming and he don't care about that stuff. Then the Bible said they'll be marrying and giving in marriage when he comes. He don't care. And everybody who got baptized ain't saved. We can't screen them. When they come and say, well, I have to do it. I'll get that little meter around and go, you ain't ready. We can't do it. We do it. We baptize the whosoever. But he said, here's your notice. He coming. And while you're waiting, you'll be getting ready. Get your lamps trimmed. Be ready to burn. Because he's coming. See, look, you ought to stand up and see how they're looking at me. But I ain't scared. I'm just trying to help y'all, because if I don't help you, it's the blood on my hands. I want all y'all to be saved. And the only way you're going to do this thing is to do this thing. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone stand. I don't know what that means. It came to me. The Holy Ghost gave it to me because I had my hand on my hip. Let's stand on our feet together. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Pray for me. Come on, come on. We're going, we're leaving. I know y'all got to go. What time is it, Sister McKenzie? Don't have a watch. No more watches in the church. Sister McKenzie had decreed. Let me tell you something. We're going home. It's a little after 1. I know that. It's a little bit after 1. We're all right. Let me tell you something. I've been praying a new prayer. You know what my new prayer has been? That y'all get saved. I was praying for cars and jobs and health. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make a simple request to God that the church
and the people I pastor be saved. You know what it did, Deacon Walker? It made my prayer life a lot simpler. I was trying to remember all the stuff y'all asked me about, remember all the stuff we talked about up here. And the Holy Ghost said, just pray they get saved. I'll take care of the rest of it, Lady Renee. And you know what? I started having less headaches with my prayer life. I have to keep worrying about who asked me for this and who told me about this. Lord said, just pray they get saved. Because you can't do nothing with unsaved folk till they get saved. Unsaved folk can't keep no job. Their marriage ain't going to be no good. They don't know how to treat people. Just pray they get saved and watch how their life change. All that other stuff will take care of. And the Bible addressed, he said, I told them, I know they have need of all that. I said, well, Lord, I wish I'd learned this before my hair came out. He said, I was trying to tell you. Jethro told Moses that these folk going to kill you with all their requests. You're going to be dead and they're just going to get another Moses. Kill him too. So I want y'all to be saved. He said, first, I want to stir your remembrance. And second, he said, this is your reminder. The third thing I wish we'd gotten to, Sister McKenzie, you know we never get to them. But he was saying to them, you've got to live resolved and resilient lives. In other words, you got to make up your mind and you got to finish. You got to make up your mind, resolve. You just got to have a resolve. And then be resilient. Don't let nothing sway you, he says. Don't let nothing cause you to drift. Got to be resilient, tough. So today, I just want to ask one question. We can go about our business. Is there anybody here that wants to be saved? That's all I want to know. I'm so sorry I took up your time just to get to this one question. But it is by the foolishness of preaching that men get saved. I'm just asking, is there anybody here that want to be saved? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to get in your business. But if you want to be saved, you can. It has nothing to do with what you drank, smoked, did, said. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No background check. Nobody's going to say where you came from. You don't need nobody to vouch for you. If you can't walk alone and you want to bring a friend, that's fine. But do you want to be saved? I'm not asking you to join Greater Brookville Church. That's not going to save you. I'm not asking you, do you want to get baptized? Because that's not going to save you. I just want to know, do you want to be saved? Because once you answer that question, we got some things we can talk about. But you know, you just hang around church, sitting on the pew, taking in a little air conditioning, looking out the window, and say, well, I had a good time. I like that church. But do you love Jesus? I like church too, but I love Jesus. We can tear the building down, to be honest with you. Put up a tent. I still love Jesus. You can take the suits. We can have dressed down for the rest of the summer, the rest of the year, the rest of our lives. I still love Jesus. We don't have to do no form of fashion. We don't have to light no candles anymore. We can take all this stuff out of here. I still love Jesus. Because he saved me. That's all I need. No. And if you don't want to answer that question today, maybe you want to take a chance, come back next week or something, I don't know. But while you're here, why not? I mean, you're here. Do you want to be saved? Okay, nobody's saying anything. Now, I have to run the risk that pastors run all the time and suggest to myself that means everybody's saved. Now, I know I'm wrong in my own intellect. I know I'm wrong. But you know, that's not going to bother you, is it? You know what's going to get you? When Jesus knows you're wrong. You walk out of here today, smile. You ain't got to shake my hand. You ain't got to say nothing to me. But Jesus knows whether you are or are not. So I want to invite you to do this. I want you to take an opportunity to pray with us. I want to say to you, my brother, my sister, if you've been saved and accepted the Lord and you just need that restoration push, you just need to renew and be reinvigorated. You just say, Pastor, I've been in the thing, but you said something that made me think a little bit. I just need a booster shot. You remember when they used to get booster shot immunization? After a while, they said, well, you need another one of those just to kind of make sure we're still good to go. Sometimes you can have something going on inside of you that you don't realize, and you just need something to help you fight a little better. Well, I want to invite you today to get that little boost. But here's what I want you to do today. We're going to go. But if you save, you believe in your spirit, your heart, that you're saved. But you know the journey is long and fraught with danger. And the Bible said that the Lord sent them out in pairs. So here's what we want to do today. I want you to take a minute to think, kind of look around, scan the area. And I want you, at the moment that we say come, I want you to get you a partner. Somebody going to walk with you today in your revitalization move. Grab somebody and say, you know, I want you to walk with me because the dangers are many. And I'm going to look out for you and you look out for me. But let's walk together today. I'm not saying you got to have a new prayer partner and all that because that stuff don't work in the church. Trust me, prayer partners fall out over crazy stuff. Sometimes they fall out over prayer. I'm just saying for now, if you can get somebody just to walk with you so you don't have to walk alone, just kind of scan the area right quick. Say, let me see who I want to walk with me. And you don't have to pick the same people. You know, you can pick somebody new. It's just a little symbolic thing. You know, we'll do a little symbolic thing. Say, I want you to walk with me. I'm going to look out for you. You look out for me. And we're going to be better for the journey. So you ready? Y'all done scanned a little bit? Now, don't overlook a whole lot of people because you ain't got but so many choices anyway. Amen. So let's grab somebody. Find you somebody. Come on up. We're going to walk together and we're going to pray. While you're coming. There you go. That was easy. While you're coming. You know, it's all right. I see some of y'all doing good with it. There you go. While you're coming. Amen. Come on. There you go. There you go. Look right sharp, bro. I like that. Yes, sir. Why are you coming? Come on. Now, you know, it's not that hard now. Don't, because in order to have friends, you got to be friendly. There you go. Keep coming. Come on. Just grab you somebody and say, you know what? I choose you today. Now, husbands, don't get mad at your wife. Wives, don't get mad at your husband because they didn't come get you. Y'all can be together later on. Talk about that thing. But right now, you're just saying, I want you to walk with me. It's really a matter of trust. That you're really saying to that person, I trust you with what God values in my life. Because I am somebody in the Lord. And for me to choose you and you to accept my choosing and you choose me back, that speaks volumes as our relationship. Because none of us can make it by ourselves. Tell you that right now. I don't need nobody. I just like anybody. You lying and you know it. All of us want to be with somebody. Nobody want to be sitting around in a restaurant all the time eating by themselves. Nobody want to be riding in a car all the time. Sometimes it's cool now. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. But in reality, I love company.